1. Okay, this is we're starting from the bottom of Gimel and Beis to the middle of Dal and Aleph. Let's see. Then we got to do the Chumash. Madin Amarno Al Maikin. We said something about the Allah of Maikin. A house that's Arba Amos or Arba Amos. A house that's Arba Amos or Arba Amos has a Chiv Maikin if it's flat. If it's sloped and no one walks in, there's no Chiv Maikin. But if it's a house that is less than Arba Amos or Arba Amos, there's no Chiv to put a fence on the top of it. Maikin, okay? Ma'aka. So, yes, there is a bracha on Maikin, yes. Now there's an interesting question I want you to get. Again, Kozanish points out a very fascinating case. He says, I don't understand. He says, if a house is less than Dalar Amos or Dalar Amos, he says, okay, you're telling me you don't need to put up a mic if someone might fall off and die. Lo tosim dam besecha, chas v'sholom. He says, why a house less than Arba Arma, why a house less than 404 is a potter from a mic if someone could fall off and die? That's the Kozanish's kasha. Kozanish answers beautifully.
That's number one.
Yes, the Kozanish says that the concern that you're falling off a roof is uncommon. And therefore, anyone who's found on a roof usually knows what he's doing, he'll pay attention. Therefore, we don't have to worry about him in such a case. So that's why...
You never need a mic.
No, you don't take it that extreme. But a house less than what? Less than 4x4. Don't tell me you should need a mic because of what? Someone falling off? Because someone's up there, he'll be careful. But in Ichanami, like you said, Dani, a house that's 4x4 amos definitely needs a mic. And there's no doubt about it. That's what we said about mic. Please get it. Okay, that's number one. Number two, what do we say about the din of Bate Arechoma? Let's get it. We had a whole, we had a very interesting concept here. We said a house that is less, the house that is Dal Amos or Dal Amos, if it's walled in from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, what's halacha? The halacha is that you can redeem it within 1 year. If you don't redeem it within 1 year, if you don't rebuy it from the guy, last, the lokeach keeps it forever. Doesn't even go back in Yova. However, if someone sells a field, you're not allowed to redeem the field until 2 years pass. And also, it goes back at the time of Yovel as well. That's the din of a sada. Okay? Now, what's the story about houses that are not Batei Arechoma, that are not in walled cities? So what did we say about that? So we said the following. We said, Bate Chatzerim, which are houses that are not in walled cities. The din is that the seller is allowed to what? Allowed to redeem it immediately. And it goes back during Yovel as well.
Wait, so the houses in a walled city?
The houses in an unwalled city can be redeemed immediately, and they also go back at the times of Yovel. The second distinction we made is that if you're poor to your house, which is outside a walled city, you have to redeem it with the same amount of money you paid for it with. However, when you redeem a field or you redeem a house outside the what? Outside the walls of the walled city, you don't repay the whole thing. You prorated how much money's left till what? Till Yovel when it goes back. Okay? So please get those dinim. Let's say it again. Number one, we said if you're dealing with a house that's in a walled city, that is Arba Amos and Arba Amos, you have a year to redeem it. After that year, it's no longer you have ability to redeem it, stays by the lokeach forever, does not go back in the oval. That's number one. However, a field, which is a field, can be the same thing in a walled city or outside. Field is the same din. A field, you cannot redeem it within the first 2 years. You cannot redeem it within the first 2 years of Sada. You're not allowed to. After that, you can redeem it, and it goes back during what? Goes back during Yovel. Okay?
Wait, but the house in a walled city did not go back after Yovel?
A house in a walled city, we said, did not go back.
You
have a year to redeem it, and that's it. Okay? You got it?
Wait, so let's
say it one more time. Okay?
Now,
let's say it one more time to all these dinim. Okay, let's get it. Let's say it one more time. A house in a walled city from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, you cannot redeem it within the first year. You can redeem it within the first year. If you don't redeem it within the first year, what's the din? It stays where? Stays in Lokeach forever. Does not go back in Yovel. Okay? That's the din of a house in Bate Arechoma that has Arba Amos or Arba Amos. What about a field that a field is the same thing if it's an unwalled city or unwalled city. What's the din of a field? Field, the first 2 years, you're not allowed to redeem it. But after the 2 years, you're allowed to redeem it, and it does go back to the original seller in the times of Yovel. Number three distinction. Let's get it. Three Nakuda. Please get it. We said that when you redeem a house in the Bat Erechoma, you redeem it fully, 100%, for the same price. However, when you redeem a field or a house outside Bat Erechoma, you do not redeem it with its full money. You prorate it how much years are left to Yovel, you subtract that, and that'll be your what? That'll be your price that you refund it for. Now this brings us to what exactly is a house less than Arbamos. What do you do with a house that's less than Arbamos? So Rashi says by us, when you saw the Rashi inside, he says Kikarka. It's mashma that it's like a what? A field. So if it's like a field, so that's fine. They'll have all the dinim of the field. But we found Rashi in the Ksaviat and the Rivan that said, no, it's like a house outside a walled city. It's like a house outside a walled city. So it comes out that it's like a house outside a walled city. So you can redeem it immediately after what? After the Mechira, even in the first 2 years. Our Rashi says Soda. So the Minchas Chinuch says you cannot redeem it in the first 2 years. But it's interesting, says the what? It's interesting, Dovi. It's interesting that we say Allah Lamaisa, even according to Rashi, the Minchasina, some Gedol Achronim say, according to Rashi, you're allowed to redeem it immediately, because not Roy Lizria. If the field is not Roy Lizria, it's like a what? It's like a house that's less than Arbamos, so we assume it's like a field that you can't plant. A field that you can't plant, you're allowed to redeem it immediately. So that's the Chiddush that we said by Bate Arichoma. Let's get it. A house less than Arbaam is going to be like a field.
No, the house
field always go back in Yovel.
A house is not in a walled city.
Yes.
You redeem it forever.
But a house that's less than Arbaamos than Arbaamos? That's
no,
a question.
Just a stam house that's in a city without walls.
Yes.
Can you redeem it forever? Like once you
no.
sell it, you can redeem
the first,
it?
We said you can redeem it immediately and also goes back in Yovel. Regular house.
Immediately, like, up until Yovel? Like,
yeah, but you just have to prorate the price. When you redeem it. Okay, that's number two.
When you said that
if you cannot plant it, then it's not considered to be like a sada. And therefore, the din is that you can redeem it immediately. A sada, the first 2 years, are not allowed to redeem. Okay? All right, that answers number two. Number three. What is the din of Karim Bekistis on Gimel Amabez and Abadim? Let's get it. So the Gemara said very beautifully, you got a beautiful sukkah. Problem is it's too high. It's higher than 20 amos. So what do you do to minimize the size? Here you are, Adobe. What do you do to minimize the size? You put cushions and pillows on the bottom, so that'll make it less than 20. Great idea. Gemara says, you know what? It's a great idea, but it doesn't work. Because there's a din of batla daita etzel. Most people do not ruin their pillows and cushions. And therefore, halacha l'maisa, it's not a good mute. Even though you did the job, you think you did the job. But we say batla daita etzel, it does not work. And the din is Allah lamaisa that you tried, but you know what? You're not going to lower it, and the din is that it remains psul. That's the din straight up. Gimel Bay is running on a dal of an alf. That's all I want for number one, number three. Number four. What do we say about the din batal daitz kolodim? Fascinating din. Batal daitz kolodim is when you're dealing with a what? A very weak minority. What do we give an example like that? Marty, remember istinus. What's an istinus? Very delicate guy. During Shiva, we were makel that people could take showers. During the 9 days, we take showers. Why is this in this a category that we accept in halacha? Why don't you say batla daitz kolodim? Because the Taz writes it's a strong minority. It's like 40%. It's not like 2%. Batla daitz kolodim is like a 2% guy. Oh, I don't care about my cushion and pillows. Fine, 98% of the world people do. So you know what? We don't care about what your opinion is. But if it's a strong minority, like istinus, then it has what? Then it has validity in halacha. Remember we said... We said like 30-40%. A strong minority. Like the Taisus Riazak and the Kedushin Davav says, it's got to be a what? It's got to be a Medina. It's got to be a province, not a city. Remember we said if you're a Makadosh, a woman with the Lashon of Harufa, in the Medina of Yehuda, they say it's good. Why does it say a province? Because it's got to be a province. Otherwise, you say, Butla Daitzel's Kolodim. What was the example we gave? Donnie. What's the example we gave? Let's focus. Whatever the guys carry baskets on their head, Danchi Hutzal. They're Bekim in it. Are they Chayav Kotzah from Rosh Hashanah Rosh Rabin? No. Batla Daitzei Etzel Kolodim, because that's a weak minority. That's what you say, Batla Daitzei Etzel Kolodim. That's the Chiddush. Okay, that answers number four. Number five, let's go. What do we say about Arnike? Top Toises. Toises, bothered by a wonderful kasha. He says, Karim Vikistus don't get the job done. They don't get the job done. They don't minimize the size. But an Arnike, what's the story here, David? What's the story with an Arnike? An Arnike is a wallet, okay? So we know that there is a halacha. We know that there's a halacha. You have two chatzeris and you have a ditch in between the two. If the ditch is 10 tefachim deep, what's the din? We treat them as two different chatzeris, yes? What happens if you plug up the ditch? What's the din in that case? So the Gemara is a fascinating case in Erevin. Let's say a guy sticks his wallet in there. What do you do in such a situation? Yeah, you stick your wallet in the ditch. What do you do in that case? Is that considered to be good or not? So the Gemara says, in Mesechus Erevin, on daf what? On daf ayin tes, the Gemara says it's good. You plug it up, it's good for that Shabbos. Why is it good for that Shabbos? Why don't you say but late to the golem? Excellent, Donnie. The answer is poshup shad is because it's usher to what? It's usher to remove an article. You can't move a wallet on Shabbos, and therefore for that Shabbos, says the Aruch Lanier, it is considered to be butl. Because no one wants to be over this from Muksa. So you don't say but late dot late to the it plugs up the hole, we view it as one chatzah, you're done. Now we pointed out, I want you to get this, that the Sfas Emes said a little bit different. The Sfas Emes was Masber Toisvus, I'll be the Sheet the Ritva, which we're going to get to, B'Zashem. He claimed, what does the Ritva say Bittul is? Bittul's for Olamis. But on Shabbos, all you have to Mavapal is for that day, and that day alone. Sukkah might need a Bittul Yola. But Shabbos only needs Bittul for that day of Shabbos. Listen, you can't carry around your wallet, you'll put it in the dirt for all of Shabbos, that's enough. Meaning that, according to the Sfas Emes, the Toisvus really holds like the Ritva, you need a Bittul Yola, against Rashi, which we're going to get to. But the bottom line is, on Shabbos, everyone agrees all you need is what? A bittul for those 24 hours. Okay? So that's what Tosfos said about Arnike. That's five. Six. What's the din of Tevin? Give all the cases. Okay? We'll go slow with this. You want me to write, I want you to get it down. Okay? You want me to write the chart again? I forgot all my markers. You want me to write the chart? I'll take too long. No? I'm going to go slow with it. Let's go. Number one. What do we say about Tevin? Okay? What did I say? Yeah, what's the din of Tevin in all the Uvdos? What do you mean all the Uvdos? There are four cases. Okay, let's get it. What's the din if you're Mavatel Tevin? Just go, let's go slow, Marty. Get it down. What's the din if you're Mavatel Tevin? Everyone holds its bottle. Excellent. You stick straw in there, bottle. Excellent, guys. What's the din if it's Ein Asel if Noso? You make a public proclamation to all your friends, you know what, I'm leaving the straw in the house, in the sukkah. What do you do in that case? Chachamim say, ain't no bottle. Reb Yossi says bottle. The tevin, the straws, ain't no asal if noso. You made a proclamation, you're not going to remove it from the sukkah. Chachamim say, ain't no bottle. Reb Yossi says bottle. Third case. Third case is stam. What's stam? We don't know what his intentions are. He didn't tell us. What do you do by Tevin Stam? Okay? What do you say by Tevin Stam? Ain't no bottle. Everyone says ain't no bottle. And lastly, number four, what do you do by Asa Lefnosa, where he made a proclamation that he's going to remove the stuff the next day? What do you say? No, Asa Lefnosa, he made a proclamation he's going to remove the stuff. So what's the case in that case? Ain't no what? Ain't no bottle. That's what you said. No, ain't no bottle. You're right. You're right. Ain't no bottle. Okay? Ain't no bottle. All right? That's the cases of Tevin. We got it? Ariel, you got it? We said it already. Four cases. Okay? Four cases. Let's say it again. Tevin, if you're Mavatel, is it good? Yes. Right? Tevin Mavatel, it's good. What happens if you say, ain't us lefnos? You make a proclamation, you're not going to remove it. What's the din? According to Chachamim, ain't no bottle. According to Biosi, is bottle. What about Stam? You don't know what his intentions are. Ain't no bottle. What happens if he says he's going to remove it? Then for sure everyone agrees, like Donnie said, ain't no bottle. Okay, that's number what? That's number six. Seven. What is the din of Afer Tzuros? Dirt or pebbles? Give all the cases. Let's go. Same thing again. Okay? It's not hard to get in your mind. Let's go. Offer Tzuros. What happens if you're Mavatalin? What's the din?
It works.
Buttle. What happens if it's Ein Asid Lefnoso? You made a proclamation not going to remove it. Machloikis. According to the Chachamim, Ein O Buttle. According to Rabbi Yossi? Buttle. David, what do we say? According to Rashi and Tosfos. But according to the Ritva, get it down. What does the Ritva say? That the Chomer Motor of Yossi in that case, that it is what? That it is what? That it is Batal. Rashi and Tosfos said explicitly that it was a Machlaikis. However, the Ritva said it's not a Machlaikis. The Chomer Motor of Yossi, that it is Batal. Okay.
Wait, who says that they admitted that?
Rashi and Tosfos both said it was a Machlaikis, or Yossi and the Chomer. The Ritva argued, said the Chomer Motor of Yossi, that it's Batal. Okay, and lastly, actually two more, Stam. What do you do by Stam? By offering Tzuros. Straight up Machlaikis. Chomer in a Batal, Rabbi Yossi's Batal. That was in the Gemara. And then the last one is what, Dani? Asid Lifnosa. You made a proclamation. What's the din?
Everyone holds Stam Batal.
Excellent. Very good. Ain't no Batal. Everyone holds Ain't no Batal. Excellent, guys. Very good. That's number what?
Seven.
That's number seven. Eight. What's the din of Tfua? Okay? What's the din of Tfua? So this was not in the Gemara. Tysus quoted the produce case. So let's get it. We said like this. We said that the Ron was of the opinion here that by Tfua you can do what? You can do Bittl. You can do Bittl. Now produce is food. But the Bittl is only for what? The Bittl is only for how many days? For 7 days. Okay? Because no one is mevatel food forever. So you know what the Ritva said to the Ran? I'm sorry. Kri shel tfua, Bittl never works. The Ritva. Bittl for Kri shel tfua, you can never be mevatel it. Never. Since it's food, a guy might need it all any time. So if you fill up your house, there was a mace there, God forbid, with food, what's the din according to the Ritva? It's not bought, it's like it's been removed. And if there's tumah in the whole house, what do? We take the whole house and we go up. It's not constricted to the mace that it's bokas v'ola. It fills up the whole house, the whole width of the house, we said, according to the Ritva. Because the food is like it's not even there. No one leaves food there forever, so you never know when the guy's going to take food. So it's like it's not there, so like you have a mace in the house. So the whole tumah, halach l'maisa, is considered to be what? Is considered to be l'maisa in there. And the tumah, what? The whole tumah, it's like, remember we said it's like there and not there? Remember we said that? It's like there and not there because on one hand, l'maisa, it's not batal forever. On the other hand, it's still in existence. So you take the whole piece, the whole house, and it shoots up the shamayim. That's according to the Ritva. Tremendous chiddush. Yes, that's the worst shita, l'maisa, that we have. But the Ritva says on food, you're never about to go, and the Ran said not that way. The Ran said shiv is enough. He says not that way. The Ritva says it's wrong. Okay. What'd you say?
The
Ritva says the house.
The flip side.
The Ran says it's bittul for shiva, 7 days. You have to mavatal it.
He said on one hand we don't know if
other. On one hand we say it's not there the produce. On the other hand it is there that we assume the whole house that it doesn't create a blockage by the roof. It fills up to the top. But on the other hand it's not there because I'm going to remove it. So the whole house goes up. That was the chiddush we said. The Ritva, the notes fixed it on the bottom we saw. And that's how he read the Mishnah. Amazing Kiddush. Because Kri Shel Tfua is not quoted by our Gemara, but it's in the Mishnah in all of us. Okay? That's what we pointed out. Now, that's number one. That's number eight. Please get that. Now, I just want to note to you, just to get it complete, what's it in my karma kistos? By all the cases? You tell me, Donnie.
Not
bottle. Not bottle karma kistos. Excellent. What about Enos and Lifnoso? What would you say?
Still not bottle.
Why not? Because no one wants to lose his cushion. Even if he makes a proclamation, oh, I'm going to leave my cushions there. Yeah, big tzaddik. The three, and when it starts raining, you'll be the first guy that runs out to get it. What about Stam?
Not
Balto. What about what? Us Lifnoso. Of course, ain't no Balto. So it's always ain't no Balto by Karmi Kistis. Okay. I wanted to just mention it. You got it complete.
What if they were in the
family's opposite? We'll get to the specific question, Lamaisa, Donnie, but okay, we'll see. All right, that's eight. Let's go, guys. Ma Arba Nekudos, that Rashi and the Ritva are cholik in the sugya of miyut. There are four different nekudos. Let's go slow and you get them. Number one, when you do bittul, does it have to be verbal or in your mind? Rashi said in your mind. No, Rashi said verbally. Even though the Pnei Yeshua said he didn't mean it, but we pointed out a Rashi in Erevin. You remember what daf it was? I think it was Ayin Ches. We actually read the Rashi in Shir. Rashi said bepiv. Rashi actually said bepiv. Ayin Ches and Beis. So the Pnei Yehoshua is very difficult to say Rashi didn't mean what he meant. Rashi says verbally, you need to articulate the bittul. Ritva says in your mind is enough. Pnei Yehoshua says Rashi didn't mean it. Look at Rashi in Erev and Ayin Ches. Rashi in Erev and Ayin Ches says Beferish Bepiv. So it's very difficult to read the Rashi didn't mean it. Ayin Chesim and Beis, Dibra Masko E. That's number one, Nikuda. Ritva says, in your mind, Jacob. Pnei Yehoshua said Rashi didn't mean verbalization. Meant in your mind too. It's not true though. Rashi in Erev and Ayin Ches says you need Bepiv. So Pnei Yehoshua is a Pella. Yes, Marty. You mean if you filled up? Well, we're talking about the sukkah. We're talking about sukkah. Yeah, you know, because we're talking about in the din of sukkah to fill up for the sukkah. Yeah, for the din of sukkah. Yeah, talking about bittul. On Sunday we'll talk about the for chametz. We'll talk about the relationship to bittul chametz on Sunday. Okay, good, very good, excellent. Okay, that's the first nekuda. Number two, let's go. What's number two? How many days? Rashi says you're b'atel for 7 days. Ritva says, no way, it's got to be forever. Rashi on the top said, kol shiva. Ritva said, forever. Third Nakuda. You ready? Third Nakuda is a situation, ein asa lefnoso. Ein asa lefnoso, offer and tzuros. According to Rashi and Tosis, chameno b'atel, Rabbi Yossi b'atel. According to the Ritva, no machloikis. The chameno motor, Rabbi Yossi, that's b'atel. That's the third Nakuda. And number four, yeah, the case of offering Tzurus ain't us lefnoso, Jacob. Is that a machloikis? Rashi says it is. Chum saying a bottle, Rabbi Yossi's bottle. However, Ritva says, what are you talking about? Chum emoted Rabbi Yossi's bottle. And then the fourth Nakuda is, how do you simply touch the word ain't us lefnoso? We know what touch means, the Yiddish word for translate. Ain't us lefnoso, according to Rashi, means what? That you don't mavatl it verbally, you mavatl in your mind. And what does Ein Asa Lefnoso mean according to the Ritva? What does Ein Asa Lefnoso mean? Means only for what? For 7 days. Because Bittul is Leolim according to Ritva. Just downgraded one. Ein Asa Lefnoso is only for 7 days. Yeah, how do you translate the phrase Ein Asa Lefnoso? So according to Rashi, it means what? You didn't do it verbally. And according to the Ritva, it means you didn't do it forever. You did it for only 7 days. Just downgrade according to each opinion. Okay, it's a good kasha, halacha lemaisa. We said about the Karim Vekistis. So, lemaisa, how many days did you need to have it for? You remember how we paskin on that, Donnie? Did we say leolam? I think we only said 7 days, like Rashi. Forgot my Mr. Brewer in there, in Seder. I think we paskin 7 days. No, it's okay. I'll say it over for Sunday. Okay. That's number 8, 9. Very good, guys. Let's go 10. What does the Bir Halacha say? This is what you were asking about. Legabe matzos of rich guys. On the floor of rich guys. Bati Ashirim. I forgot the mem sofit. Bati Ashirim. What's the din about that? You know, there are rich guys that have outside furniture. They could care less if they get wet. So what about those guys? Do you say Botlei Tzukolodim for that? Excellent, Donnie. So we said we found a Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha starts off saying, you know what, listen, for maybe these guys that are wealthy, they'll leave it out there, they could care less. Maybe the din should be different. So we pointed out, first he starts off as a suffolk, Lamaisa, because, you know, they're not going to bring it in, they're going to leave it out. But then we dug up a Meiri. What did the Meiri say? The Meiri says, no way. The Meiri said, you know what, the Chachamim do not give Divrei and L'Shiurim, correct. Excellent, Ariel. He says, I don't care what these guys are, how wealthy they are. The din is that across the board, Lamaisa, across the board, he said, we never say that the cushions work, Halacha Lamaisa. But he did end up with one line there, the Bir Halacha. He said, if they're really, really bad, and dirty and stuff, you know? So he said, maybe there's still a possibility it would work. He left that as a last line as a tzarachi in the Bir Halacha. Because if they become so dirty and muddy, maybe they're going to leave it out there. So maybe it should be.
What about specific outdoor furniture? Not that it's...
Yeah, so that's what we said, Lamaite. That's what we were bringing up. Maybe that's similar to the last line of the what? The last line of the Bir Halacha.
It still goes on under the concept of
Yeah, it could be. It could be, though, but maybe it's became such a outdoor furniture became so popular, Adam. Maybe
yeah,
one would say, maybe it's a question. That's what we put outdoor furniture within that last line where the stuff became so muddy or not, everyone's given up on it. There he says Sarachin. But with the Meiri still we have in our minds that the Chum do not know Nasa Chum during the Shurim. You got too many exceptions. The whole rule goes up in smoke.
If they gave up, I have to find out.
Yeah, so, I mean, Lamaisa, we said, Halacha Lamaisa, should not rely on it.
It's that dirty.
Yeah, you shouldn't rely on it. Even if it's really that dirty, you got that Meiri in the back of your mind, you don't want to argue on the Rishon, that's what the Bar Halacha is hesitating with. Quotes that Meiri, but he does have that last line. We said that last line, the dirty cushion might include outdoor furniture. Okay. All right, that answers number what? Number 10, 11. Why is there no problem of Tasav Lomanasu in this case? Okay? Of Karim Bekistis. The Meiri asks this kasha, Pnei Yeshua asks this kasha. I don't understand. Remember we said the last thing that you got to do is what? Tassalonosim is to fix your schach. That's not the last thing you did here. The last thing you did here is put the cushions in there to make the sukkah kosher. Why is that not a problem? It's a bomb kasha. Rav Shechter Shlita has it in the sefer we said over. So the Meiri asks this kasha, Pnei Yeshua asks this kasha. They say the following teretz. The teretz is the following. Yes. That Tassalonosim is only a problem on if it's an intrinsic problem in the schach. But since schach lamalim yesrim is not considered to be a schach puzzle at all, it's just too high. Therefore, you cannot pin a problem of tasav lomin asui on it at all because the schach is what? The schach is really not puzzle. That was the teretz that we said, halach lamaisa. That's the teretz that we said, halach lamaisa, therefore it's not a problem. Okay? It's a very strong kasha, but you have to say a beautiful teretz like this. The problem is.
What does our chapter say?
That's what he writes in the Sefer. He quotes from this Pnei Yeshua. The problem is, what do you do with Rabbeinu Yeshaya? And anyone who says that Sukkah Lamalim Yesrim is mamish like metal. L'chura, that's a very, very strong kasha. Why is this not a problem of Tasev Lomin Asui? It's tremendous kasha. So it could very well be, and this is what Stipler writes, that the psul lomalim yesrim is noveah from the schach together with the makam karka. When you lift up the karka, that's not tasav lomino asui. Because regarding the airspace, the schach is really not possible because of its height. The psul is only because why? There's not in that makam karka lasukah. So in the karka, it's not really a psul of tasav lomino asui. So the answer basically that we said is that you're finagling basically with the cushions. We view it halachically as really what? Is really working with what? Working with the schach. And therefore, it's kilu really working with the schach. And therefore, or for that matter, working with the karka, it's really not a problem of what tasav lomin asui. So even if you hold that schach above than 20 is metal, but lamaisa, we still don't call this tasav lomin asui because we consider it to be like an asiyah now. And therefore, it's not considered to be a problem. You're either fixing the karka, you could say it like that. If you want to say you're fixing the karka, that's fine. And there's no psul tasim lamasui on kark, it's only a psul on the schach itself. And since you're finagling the kark, and therefore it's considered to be okay. Or you could say a halachically we view it as you're fixing the schach. One of the two. But lamaisa, it's a very strong kasha if you hold like the Rabbeinu Yeshaya. If you don't hold like the Rabbeinu Yeshaya, it's not a problem. Yes, David, go ahead.
I just was going to ask for like, I guess what does Rabbi mean by you might be fixing, how could that be fixing the schach?
I don't know, halachically the Meiri had some type of lashon that maybe. Maybe by you cover putting the cushions in, somehow we view it as like a diminishment of the schach halachically. So you're not physically touching it, yeah.
And that can be considered an asiyah.
Yeah, exactly. That's one way of saying. The other way of saying is that I'm just finagling with the karka, and there's no din of tasim rasi on that, on the karka. Possible.
But isn't it
okay.
Just like the same thing with
chatzit begadish?
It's like exactly the same thing.
No, not chatzit is not finagling with the karka. Okay? You're finagling with the walls. You're making walls. Okay? You're not finagling with the karka. Here you're finagling with the karka. Maybe it's totally out of the parsha tasav lomin asui. Okay, where's the Mishnah in Chotev Min HaKodesh? What daf? Tedvav Amin Aleph, right? Got to know all the Makayas. Tedvav Amin Aleph. Yes, David?
Could we also say that maybe the Gemara is assuming you lifted up the schach the same way we assumed on daf?
Could be. I think you asked me that then. It's just hard to say that because Lamaisa, the Gemara didn't say it. You know what I mean?
We didn't say it on Beis either.
Well, that was as a kasha. This was a din. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When the Gemara asked the kasha, that was the Gemara's assuming in the kasha we said. It's much easier to say. But here's a straight up din, and if you don't, the Gemara didn't say it, it's hard to say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, very good, guys. Let's go. That's number what? 11. 12. What did the Miri say about diminishing the hollow space karvikistus? Miri had a beautiful ha'ara. He said there are those who want to prove from this sugya, namely the Ravid in the Tmim Deim, that Rav is wrong. Who's Rava? Who's Rava? From Daf Beis, Jacob. Who's Rava? Keva. Let's get it. Come on, number what? We are number 13, rather. What's the din what? About what? No, we're on 12. What does the Miri say about Lamai Chalav Karmikistis? So what do we say? So we said that the Miri said that, quotes the Tune Dan, that this sugya is against Rava. What does Rava say? Keva. And if Rava says Keva, then the walls are still what? How is this helping the walls? The walls are still Keva. Much kind of like you asked me a little bit similar, Kasha David and Seder today. Right? I mean, how are you fixing that problem? The walls are Keva. You might be diminishing the space. So what's the answer? So he said the following. Miri said, you know what? It's an amazing thing. It's kind of like what I just said to you before, David. We view the cushions like karka. It's like halachically becomes like karka. And therefore it becomes karka gomor. Therefore, the mechitz is only what? Starting up from what? From the new surface of ground. So therefore, it's no longer 20 anymore. It's no longer keva. It's now the walls are eroi. So you have built up the karka. By you building up the karka, it transforms the mechitz into eroi. And therefore, that will save all the Rishon and the Paschal like Rava. Don't ask on Rava from this sugya. See, according to Rava, it fits in beautifully. Shlita is Beayin. According to Reb Zeira, there's Sel. But according to Rava, don't you have a problem? It's not if I view the Karmakistus like Karka Gomer. So it's like the wall's now starting on the top of the Karmakistus. So it's transformed into a Roy. Kind of like you're asking me in Seder. Okay. Yes, Ariel.
Would you mind repeating just the people who actually try and ask on Rava from this?
Yes, the Tmim Dain. He doesn't ask, he proves. He proves from this sugya that Rava's wrong. He was one of the three Rishon in the Paschal like Rava. Who were the three? Remember? Who were the three Rishon in the Paschal like Rava? Wasn't the Tmim Dain one of them? Remember we said that? Yeshmin Rishon, remember that? Rabbi Hanan about Itter and the Ravid. Yes, the Ravid wrote the Tmim Dain. So Ravid's one of the three. He proves it from this sugya.
Wait, this was the Ravid or the Meiri that said this?
The Meiri quotes that there are some Rishonim. He quotes. Namely, he's referring to the Ravid. Okay? Very good. Okay, that's 12. 13. 13. Yes, Avram.
If you say that we're now fixing the walls also, according to this night, we're fixing the walls and the slats.
You're not fixing the walls. It just becomes ground. Now the wall goes above the ground. We don't view it as... We don't view it as fixing the walls. No, it's not changing. It's a result of you now building up the ground. That's how you view it in Lomdus. I'm not finagling with the walls. I built up the ground, and now the wall is above the cushions, which are now dirt. I hear what you're asking. We don't view it like that. Okay, that's why it gets out of problem. Tassimimimimimimimimimimim. Okay, that's 12. 13. What's the din of Tuma? Memaitis Chalal Tefach. What do we say to Allah is? Please get this. Let's say, God forbid, you have a mace and a coffin. If there's a tefach space between the mace and the roof of the coffin, what's the din? The tomb is blocked by the coffin and stays in the coffin. That's why Kohan and Lamais can go on Elal. Because even if there's a mace on the bottom, is in an Aron, they make sure the Aron is a tefach higher than the mace.
They do make sure?
Yes. Okay, number one. Number two. What happens if the space is less than a tefach from the mace to the top of the roof of the coffin? Tuma shoots straight up through the roof. Tuma bokas v'oilu. That's the halacha. Now, the din is, does the mace count or not? The way I said it over to you is that you count from above the mace, correct?
To the top of the roof.
Or is it possible you can ignore the whole mace and just do from the bottom of the what? The bottom of the coffin to the top. So we paskin halacha lemaisa, please get it, we said this over. We paskin halacha lemaisa, and this is the way what we assume Ladina, if the mace can be memayit or not, we paskin halacha lemaisa. Rashi says the way I said it, the Rishash says the way we said it, halacha lemaisa. Rishash, actually in Daf Yud, Rashi is a little bit mashma, not the way, but we count halacha lemaisa that from Rashi, the tumah itself is memayit the chalal tefach. So you count from the mace to what? To the top of the coffin, the way we set it over. But there is a Rambam.
You mean from the bottom of the mace?
No, from the top of the mace to the what? Oh. The top of the mace to the roof. So it's memayit the what? It's memayit the chalal. Halacha lemaisa. But there is a Rambam. I want you to get it. There is a Rambam The Sefer Hon Ashir is medayik from the Rambam, we said, where the Rambam seems to say that you do not, the tumah, the mace itself is not mamayit the halal. You measure from the bottom of the what? Coffin to the top, and the mace doesn't make a difference. That's a very big chiddush. We assume Pashup Shad, like Rashi, Halacha Lamaisa. What'd you say? Yeah, it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. You're right, but you could say
it. It doesn't really make any sense.
Well, the question is that the tomb itself is mamayit
the
halal.
The whole body of the,
I understand. It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. I would have said like the way we, I would have said like we said like Rashi, and that's what we assume Ladina. We do not assume that the mace is not mamayit the halal. We assume we don't. Why should we say it disappears? But Lamaisa, that's the two shittas I want you to know. Very important halacha. And that's what we assume the din. Okay? There is a din de rabbanu we said in brachas and daf yotesu in beis. You're never allowed to be around a coffin. You could say in Thirek, let's say there's a policy that they put all coffins have to be at least a tefach from the mace to the roof of the coffin. So why can't a kohen be around it, right? It should be contained. There was a xerid de rabbanu never to get around the, you have to medalgin. You never, a coin can never be around a coffin in the Rabbana because we're afraid it wasn't built well and it might get messed up. And then there's another halacha why a coin can't be by a kever, we said. Because the coffin eventually disintegrates. So all you're left is a body. And the body has dirt on it, so it's too much shoot straight up. Plus there's a fact, halacha lamaisa, and that's the din, that's called kever. That's the din of kever. So we're chayshish for that happening, halacha lamaisa.
So to arise, if you put in a body in there, space between the coffin and the top of the ground.
Right.
You walk over that?
Because that's called a kever sasum, because we assume that the whole thing is considered to be tummy. That kever sasum is the whole thing is considered to be tummy.
Even derisa?
Yeah, even midiraisa.
But you can step on top of the coffin.
No, you can't either, because we assume that it's all considered to be a din of a kever. Din of a kever becomes like the whole box. Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead, Yosef. Stimus Agol is Bachalish Rashi Tais is what Stimus Agol is. You put the rock on it, you just close the coffin. It's Bachalish Rashi Tais. Rashi says closing the coffin, Tais is when you put that stone on. Okay, what else is number two?
Isn't a mace always thicker than a tefach? How would you say that?
No, the space between the mace and the top of the coffin.
I know that's hard, but I'm saying before the other opinion.
Yes.
The bottom of the mace.
There always will be, yes, so it'll be easier to contain it. Usually. Usually. Size of the mace too? Correct. Okay. That answers Xais Menace's Matame too. Okay, that answers number what? Number 13. 14. What does Taisa say on Dalamanaf like Abed Mishnah and Brisa? Please get it. We're just doing this in Seder with David and Marty. The second Taisa on the home with Dalamanaf. Let's get it, Jacob. The second Taisa says, I got a problem with this. This Gemara in Sukkah and Erevin quotes a Mishnah Alos, but it misquotes it. You look up that Mishnah, it says nothing about the word at all of Tevin. Our Gemara says, Bai Shemilu Tevin. What do you mean? Tevin's not in that whole Mishnah. Taisus can't believe it. The Gemara in Erevin also puts the word Tevin in. What's going on? You look up the Mishnah, Tevin's not there. So please get this. He says the Gemara put it in because the topic of the Gemara was Tevin. So the Gemara read it into the Mishnah. Sometimes we find like that, and Taisus points out, he says, Halacha L'maisa, number, he says sometimes the Gemara will put it into the Mishnah because that's the topic of the Gemara. Number two, there's a phrase of Batlu Batl that the Gemara quotes that's not found in the Mishnah. Where is that phrase? So that phrase is also not in the Mishnah. But what's a synonymous phrase? Tuma Book of Ola, Bokas V'Ola. The same thing as a Batlu Mavutl means the Tuma goes straight up, so that's synonymous. So those words might not be in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah what has is that din in there by saying Tuma Bokas V'Ola, that it shoots straight up. That's the same thing as saying butler, butler. Yeah, Jacob, that it fills up the whole house and the tumah goes straight up. Then Tosfos says, you know what? I have a suggestion, Tosfos says. And he says this like this. He thinks that anytime the Gemara in Shas quotes Mishnayos from Seder Taurus, it always quotes it in a very cursory way, terse and succinct way. It's makatzerit. So let's get the three nakudas we mentioned so far. Number one, our Gemara quotes as if the Mishnah all had the word Tevin. It's not there. Number two, the Gemara quotes here, the Mishnah has the word Batl Vutl. It's not there. So Tosfos says the following. The topic of the Gemara here was Tevin, so the Gemara put it in the Mishnah. The concept of Batl Vutl synonymous with the Tumah of Bokas V'Ola. So it's in the Mishnah. Synonymous phrase. And also, We have a rule, he says, that when the Gemara quotes Mishnayos and Seder Taharos, it does it in a very cursory way, terse and succinct, and therefore it doesn't quote it in its complete entirety. Okay? And then Tosfos says a fourth Nakuda. Please get it. Tosfos says the following. Tosfos says maybe the quote here is from a Braisa, not a Mishnah. That's why it's different. He says forget about it. When you have a choice to choose between a Mishnah and a Braisa, this is number 14, right? Yeah? We're on number 14.
Yeah.
When you have a choice between a Mishnah and a Braisa, what do? You always choose the Mishnah. So don't tell me that this is a Braisa. There's no way that this is a Braisa. So that answer is number 14. Please get it. Okay? Number 15. What did Tosfos say at the very end of the Tosfos? What did Tosfos say at the very end of that second Tosfos we did? So Tosfos said, like we said earlier, like Rashi and Tosfos, that by Afar, the Einasi Lifnoso, what's the din? Dani, according to Rashi and Tosfos, Machlokes Reb Yossi and the Rabbanan. Who says what? Reb Yossi says what? Reb Yossi says, Batel, and the Chum say what? Ain't no Batel. That's a Rashi, and the Tosfos says at the very bottom. The only reason why the Gemara didn't mention it, because it wants to be terse and succinct. It didn't want to be Marich too much. Okay? So that answers number 15. So we did the beginning part of the Tosfos and the last part of the Tosfos. What about the middle segment? That's number 16. What does Tosfos say Lagabe Tevin? So he says, you know what? He says, I want to tell you something. I'll tell you why, how the Gemara here and the Gemara in Erevin knew how to figure out what Tevin was. They figured it out from a Kol Shekain. Plain and simple. What was the Kol Shekain? The Kol Shekain is that Ufer and Sruros, which a lot of people use for construction a lot. Right? A lot of people use for construction a lot, and they require what? It's very possible, Ufer Vistam, but it's not used as much as straw. Straw is used for feeding your animals. People use it all the time. So Ufer and Sruros, which probably will stay in the place of the Sukkah, because how often do people use Ufer and Sruros? Okay, once in a while they build. They don't build so much. Right? So if you put it in there and you require Bittul, so how much more so when it comes to what? Tevin. When it comes to Tevin, Allah Lamaisa, and as we said Beferish, when it comes to Tevin, Allah Lamaisa, how much more so are you going to say that you require what? You require a Bittul. How much more so Tevin requires a Bittul? Because offering what's Ruros, Allah Lamaisa, we said what? Require a Bittul. If they require a Bittul, how much more so Tevin requires a Bittul as well? And David, we said, even in a case of Eino Asilifnoso, so Machloik, Chum say Eino Batel, Rabbi Yossi says what? Rabbi Yossi says Batel. But you don't even have to get involved in that. Just talk about a case of Batel. By Ufer Vitzuros, you require Bittel. Why? You got some stomach going to leave it in the Sukkah. You don't move around Ufer and Tzuros too often. And still you require Bittel. How much more so Tevin, you're going to require Bittel? Because Tevin, I might need to feed my animal. I might need to build something, whatever it is. Much more often, utility of Tevin is much more often. So if I require Bittul, Ufer Tzuros, it's a Kol Shekain, it's straight up in Bittul, that you require Bittul. Straight up. And that answers your question. Ain't us of those was a machlaikis. Come say, ain't a Bittul, because you're not articulating. But that's how Tosfos proved that our Gemara and the Gemara in Erevin knew it as well. Okay? Tosfos actually brought in Kri Shel Tvuah, which is quoted in the Mishnah, which we had earlier, the Mishnah in All Laws, which we had earlier. Remember, we also, here it mentions Galo Shel Achan. Remember we said that? Even if it's piled up in your house like the heap of stones, like Achan, who was Achan? Who took the spoils at the Cherem of Ai. So at that time, remember I said what the concept of Das Torah was? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu made a Cherem that no one could take the spoils of Midian. Everyone listened. Then Yehoshua does the same thing. Hashem says, why'd you do that? By Ai. Yehoshua says, Hashem, my Rebbe did it. My Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu did it. Hashem says, your Rebbe would not have done it in your situation. He knew the Jews were not on that level. He knew that someone would have broken the thing. So you shouldn't have made the cherem. He was upset at Yoshua. Das Torah is knowing what your Rebbe would do in a situation in front of you. Not going back to what he said and a blank eye saying whatever he says goes. Whatever situation. You have to think about yourself, what your Rebbe would have said in this situation right now. So it's filled up with stones, it said in the Mishnah. Even if there's tumah, even if there's kalim on the side of the tumah goes straight up. Kri Shel Tvuah, according to the Ritva, was different. According to the Rana, was not different. So Machlokes Ran Ritva, does the tumah shoot straight up? Or does it what? Fill up the whole house and the house goes right up. Machlokes Ran Ritva. Okay? All right, that answers number 16, guys. So there we chazed that taisis now as well too. The three segments we did, we broke it down. Okay, 17. Let's go, guys. What's the din of Hutzin? I want you to use this Shabbos really strong, guys. Long Friday night, you have 5 hour Seder, chazarin. You could go through the whole Gemara, Marashi Taisis, right? What else are you doing? Right? Shnai Mikra, and you learn the Gemara, you chazar the Gemara with the Rishonim, you chazar everything. Okay? That's what I used to do in the Mismedish. I mean, I could have done it more. But I tried, used to love staying there for Shabbos in the winter. You say, whole Friday night, you learn 4 or 5 hours. I should have learned 6 or 7. Okay, let's go 17. What's the din of Hutzin? Kashir Lamal Miyashimama. Let's go, guys. We got to get the Chumash. What's the din of Hutzin? Oh, so Gemara says like this. I have a beautiful sukkah. I have a beautiful sukkah, Ariel, higher than 20 amos, and I have twigs. Hutzin are twigs that dip below 20. So what's the din? If the twigs themselves create more shade than sun, then it's kosher. And if they don't, if there's more sunlight than shade from the twigs, instead of the psula, they don't accomplish anything. Straight up. That's all I want for 17. The din. Straight up. If the twigs have more sunlight than shade, then they're insignificant. It's nothing. So you're up to your left with it being higher than 20 psula. Okay, that's 17, 18. Let's get it. Straight din in the Gemara. What is the din of Hutzin when it's 10 tefachim high? The Hutzin, the twigs, the deep dip into less than 10 tefachim. What does Abai say? Sover Abai lememar. Abai thought to say that it depends. If the twigs that dipped in 10 have more what? Shade than sunlight, then you're in trouble. They're significant and it lowers the sukkah, right? If, however, there's more what? Sunlight than shade with the twigs that dipped in, what's the din? Then we disregard them and you're back to 10 tefachim, it's ksheirim. That's a Sover Abai lememar, which usually implies what? That he what? Was chozerbo when Rava comes along and says, I'm sorry, Abai, right? We know that from Amud Beis, right? Sover Abai lememar. Comes Rav and he says, I'm sorry, Abai. I don't care what the twigs manufacture. Diras Ruchihi. Rava in the Gemara and Dalam and Aleph. Once you go through inside, Amar Lai Rava, Diras Ruchihi. They had Adam Darba Diras Rucha. Okay? It's considered to be what? We said it's smelly, but it's not, don't translate that. It's uncomfortable. It's not a good dwelling. And therefore, Rava says, I argue with you, and the Poshup shot is that it's considered Psula. Just straight up. That's 18. Chloik is by Rava. We always pass like Rava and Shas, except for what? Except for Yalka what? Yalka Gam. This is not one of the Yalka Gams. This case. Yalka Gam is an abbreviation. Mentioned Babetzia and Chaf Bezim and Bez. Here we go. That's 18. 19. B'men nechukul ritva v'mechaber neged arama b'din diras rucha. Unbelievable. When Rava says, 19, when Rava says diras rucha, the mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ritva, the Shulchan Aruch, they all paskin, it's posel bidi eved. If you have 10 tefachim, the hutzin dip into it, it is psula bidi eved. Diras rucha. Psula bidi eved. What'd you say?
Even
bidi eved is psula. Mechaber, Ritva and the mechaber. The Rambam had this collector's item shita. The Rambam said it's only lechachila psula, but bidi eved is kshayru. You gotta know this. You gotta know the case, and you gotta know this. Okay, the Rambam said the amazing Rambam. He said that b'di'evet is kshir. It's just diras rucha. Just means it's not a good sukkah. But b'di'evet is kshir. That's 19:20. What was the Brisker Rav's mahalach? When you say diras rucha, Jacob, when Rav says diras rucha, did he mean it to the ma'akev, like the Ritva and the Mechaber, or is it only the chachil? It's a problem. B'di'evet is kshir. That's the Rambam. That's 19:20. What's the mahalach of the Brisker Rav? The Brisker Rav is the Griz. Agon Reb Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, the Rav's uncle. He had an amazing mahalach that we said over. Please get it. The Brisker Rav writes, a sukkah that has a wall that's 10 tefachim, not 10 tefachim high, is a problem on two accounts. Number one, a wall less than 10 is not a mechitza. We learned that out from the Aron or a Kaporis, a corner mayor, corner butus, a lachomosh mesinai. But there's another problem with a wall that's less than 10 tefachim. It's a diras rucha. So the Brisker Rav said, this depends on a machloikis between Reb Yudin the Chachamim and Chafalfa and Beis. Remember we had the Mishnah over here? That if you build a sukkah on top of bed poles, remember that? The bed pole case? Mishnah says here in Chafalfa and Beis, says that a sumat karimita ksheru. Reb Yudin says that if it can't stand by itself, I'm sorry, it's not ksheru, it's psula. Okay? So that machloikas of Chafbezim and Chafalvim and Beis in the Mishnah, the Briskarov says is totally on the second reasoning. Meaning, when you say you require Diris Keva, Reb Yudah requires Diris Keva, and the din dir that's said by a sukkah is midin what? It's a din in the chefsa. Donnie, get this down. The din dira, the din keva is a din in the chefsa. And therefore, according to Reb Yudah, dira srucha is not kshair at all, because the whole chefsa explodes and implodes. Mashenken, according to the Rabbana, you don't require dira keva. The whole din that's a din, the whole din of dira in the sukkah is not in the chefsa, it's a din in the gavra, the yeshiva. So according to the Rabbana, dira srucha is kshair. It's just a chisar in what in your fulfilling the mitzvah. But the chefsa is not deficient. The chefsa is not deficient at all, says the Rambam. That's the Rambam Shita. The Rambam says that according to Reb Yudah and the Chum, they're arguing, what is the notion of Dira? Does Dira speak to the chefsa or the gavra? Reb Yudah says it speaks to the chefsa. Chum say it speaks to the gavra. But the chefsa of your sukkah is not deficient. Mashenkin, according to the Rosh, according to the Rabbanan, a sukkah that doesn't have a sara is a what? Is a nothing. It's not considered to be a dir at all. Halach l'maisa. It's not considered to be a dir at all. It's not a dir at all. It's not a... It's a mechitz. It's a nothing. So based on this, plug in our Gemara, we said. Let's get it. According to Abaye, it's ksheira, lisavar Abaye l'meimar, because in Hilchus mechitzah, there's no chisaron. Rava says, no, even though in Hilchus mechitzah, there's no chisaron, but midin dira, there's a chisaron. It's a dira srucha. Even if the chamsin is meruba, according to the Raman, that's only according to Reb Yudah, it requires keva binan. But according to what the chamsin said, diras aroy binan, it only is a deficiency in the gavra. But in the chefs, it's fine. That's why the Raman says the diras ruchas kshay ribidiyavit, because the chefs of sukkah has no deficiency. Mashenkin, according to the Rosh, diras ruchas is a deficiency in the chefs of the sukkah, therefore it implodes in tzmak ribidiyavit. That's the chiddush of the Briskarov. The Meilit. What'd you say? The Meila, that's the Machlaikis. Again, you want me to say it again? The Briskarov is Baza. What is the Shittas Rambam? It's based on the Gemara Chafal from the base. And the Kari Amitin. Why is the Mechitza less than 10 bad? Because it's the Din in the Mechitza, and number two, it's a Dira Srucha. The question is, the Dira concept by Sukkah, does that speak to the Chefsa or to the Gavra? Korn Tributer requires Dira's Keva, it speaks to the Chefsa. Korn to the Rabbanon, it speaks to the Gavra. That's how the Rambam views it. Rambam views it as that's a fundamental machlokes tanoim. What does Dira speak to? Does Dira speak to the Chefs or does Dira speak to the Gavra? Reb Yudah says it speaks to the Chefs. Some say it speaks to the Gavra. Mashenkin, according to the Rosh, it's not true. The Rabbanan say a Dira Srucha is a din in the Chefs as well. The din Dira speaks to the Chefs. So you plug it in. Abai says in Hilchos Mechitza there's no Chesaron. Rava says, you're right, in Michus Mechitza is no chisaron, but it's a chisaron in Dira. And according to the Rambam, that's only chisaron in the Chefsa according to Reb Yudah, but we all like the Chachamim. So therefore, the deficiency in the Sukkah is not there. It's only in the Yeshiva. Mela, it's only in the Chachila problem. Mashenkin, Lefi, the Rosh, the Psul of Dira is a din in the Chefsa. The Mela, there's no Chefsa of Sukkah at all. Halach l'mais. Okay? We got that clear? That's a Briskarov. Yes, David, go ahead.
Why don't we say, if the Hutsan are going to hit him in the face, why don't we say that's a chisaron in the Gavra?
Good point. The answer is as follows. No matter what you say, according to the Rambam and the Chachamim, if it is talking, the Dira only speaks to the what? Speaks to the Gavra. As a Gavra, you might be uncomfortable, but the Chefs of Sukkah is beautiful, and therefore it can only be possible Chachilu. Because there's no deficiency in the Chefs, David. I'm glad he asked me that. That's exactly the Chiddush of the Briskarov. The deficiency is only in the Gavra sitting, it's in his face, but as a Chefs of Sukkah, it's not imploding. Therefore, but the evidence is
kshayra. Wait, but I thought we were saying the opposite. I thought we were saying there was a chisaron in the chafsa because it's hanging with
a corner of Yehuda. Corner of Yehuda. But according, because Dira speaks to the chafsa corner of Yehuda. According to the Chamim, Dira only speaks to the Gavra. So Dira Sruch says chisaron in the Gavra's yeshiva. But the chafsa of the Sukkah is not deficient. The Rosh says no, Dira Sruch is the chafsa of the Sukkah is deficient. That's why it's mocked.
Wait, the Chachamim allow a chisaron in the
chefsa?
Are they allowed?
No. There's no chisaron in the chefsa. So since there's no chisaron in the chefsa, it's good b'dyavid. It's just in the guy's face. So as a yeshiva, it's a problem. It's a deficiency in the yeshiva of the gavra. But as the chefsa of the sukkah, there's no deficiency. So therefore, it's good b'dyavid. It's only the chachila problem.
I thought we were saying there was a Bisaron in Mechafza. Because I was thinking,
according to Rabbi Yehuda.
I feel that the
only according to Rabbi Yehuda.
I think the Chacham were saying there was a Bisaron in Mechafza, they just don't care.
No. There's a Bisaron in the Gavra only, but there's not a Bisaron in Mechafza. That's why I make it in its kosher. The question is, take the concept of Dira. Does that speak to the Chefs of the Sukkah, or does that speak to the Gavra? Rabbi Yusuf speaks to the Chefs. If you have a Dira Srucha, the whole thing implodes. Dira, according to Chama, speaks to the Gavra. If you have a Dira Srucha, as a Gavra, my yeshiva is bad. But as a Chefs of the Sukkah, it's good. That's why B'nei is considered to be Shaira. Okay? And that's what Rav was telling Abaye. He says, I don't care about it, Lamaisa. I don't care about what you're saying, Lamaisa. It's a Dira Srucha. It's the Gavra, but the Chefs is still good.
Wait, why don't we say the Chefs is bad if the boots are hanging?
Because there's nothing wrong with the walls and consider it's just in the guy's face. That's a chesaron in his teshu kein deduru. But the chefs of sukkah is fine. Halach lomais. That's why he says it doesn't make a difference whether it's sunnah like, okay, it's uncomfortable as the gavra, but it doesn't touch the chefs of the sukkah. Okay, then answer number 20. 21. What's the kasha of Rashash on this din of hutsu misoch asara? It's very, very strange, very, very good kasha, but the bottom line is that, you know, we gave from the Gedol HaKhorin very strong teretz, which was very, very strong, that they were kind of upset at the Rashash, we said. What was Rashash's kasha? He said, I don't understand. How can any sukkah be kshera that's 10 fucking high? Take your average person's height. Is how much? 18 fucking. Excellent. Excellent, Donnie. Three amas. Three amas is a foot and a half. So an average guy is what? 4.5 feet at least. Right? 4.5 feet. That's without his head. Right? That's without his head, Tyson says in Ervin. Got to put his head in there too. So, I mean, he says, I don't understand something, Lamaisa. Any guy that stands in a sukkah will also be a diras rucha. In a regular, normal, 10th fucking sukkah, the lowest height should cause a diras rucha. No? That's a bomb kasha to Rashash. So we said, you know what? That's not a kasha. We said that the Rivavon said, we're talking diras rucha is when you're sitting in the sukkah and the twigs are in your face. Like David said. When you're sitting in the sukkah and the twigs in your face, that's a problem. But when you're that's the way we measure it. But when you're sitting there and there's no twigs in your face, it's fine. See, the Rashash was assuming, oh, how can you stand there? We don't measure about when you're standing. We look about when you're sitting. So if you're sitting and there's no twigs in your face, it's fine. So the whole kasha of Rashash doesn't start, we said. But we saw an amazing chiddush. And that was written by the Sefer Zosman Uchossi. That when Rabbi said diras rucha, meant only in this case is it a vada diras rucha. When there's 10 tefachim, it's not a vada diras rucha. Maybe some guy is shorter, maybe some guy knows how to, you know, sit comfortably. It's not always a diras rucha. Why does Rashash assume it's always a diras rucha? That was number two. Number three, we said it's a gezeirah kasuv. What are you asking the kasha for? For a shul says 10 tefachim is a gezeirah kasuv. Done. Halachically, we don't view it as a diras rucha. Don't ask me a kasha. That was three. But number four was a very strong statement said by the Sefer Tiferes Shol, okay? The third terrace is by the Sefer Zosman Uchasi. I want you to get it. He says, the bottom line is, and this is the Chiddush, it's Exeris HaKosuv, right? We said it, Halacha Moshe, but the last terrace is, how on earth could he have the audacity to ask such a kasha? Kind of like you said before, Ari, on the beginning of Shir. Do you think the Chachamim, you think you're smarter than the Chachamim to determine what Diras Ruch is? Only Hutzin is considered B'diras Rucha. Right? They have the ability to give us the shirim and everything. We know a sukkah is what? We know a mikvah is how many shirim of water?
40.
Arbaim saw. If it's missing a churtov, you can't tovel. What do you mean? You can fit your whole body in. Doesn't make a difference. Whatever the Chum say goes. That's Halacha Moshe M'Sinai. How could he even ask such a kasha? So it's a very similar teretz to what we said before. So to chaza that, Lamais, I want you to get the terutzim. Number one, the kasha of the Rashash is, he says the 10th fucking sukkah should be a diras rucha when you're standing there. Teretz is, we ask you about when you're sitting there and there's nothing in your face. That's one teretz. Second teretz is not always a diras rucha. Third teretz is exeris kasha. And the fourth teretz is, how can you get the kasha out of your mouth? You don't challenge, you're not smarter than the chachamim in the shiurim. So those are the four terutzim that we said, halacha lamais, to answer the Rashash's kasha. The second one is the notion of it's not always a diras rucha. It's not vada a diras rucha. Yes, David, real quick.
Was Halacha Moshe M'Sinai like established by the Chachamim or directly from the...
Well, it's kind of like Torah Shabbat Peh, but it's D'Oraisa. The Chachamim brought it out. The Anshe Knesset Gadol brought it out, but it's definitely D'Oraisa. Definitely has a status D'Oraisa. It's a good kasha, but we call it D'Oraisa.
I was asking him, because like I said, how can you challenge the Chachamim?
Yes. It means the Chachamim's touch of the Torah Shabbat Peh, which is D'Oraisa. Okay. Correct. Okay, that's 21. 22. Let's go, guys. Oh, we gave the two terutzim. We just gave two terutzim. We gave four terutzim, actually. Okay, so that's two. The 22. And last one, 23, we go to Chumash. What's the Chiddush or Rabbeinu Tam? Legabe Biosphere. You know what? 23 will pick up Lamaisa. 23 will pick up on Sunday. Okay, we'll pick that up on Sunday. Sunday, guys, don't miss. The guys, I know some guys in midterms, mechazik them. Please mechazik them to try to get them here, okay? And Thursday morning's the Bechina, we got to keep chazering. Because this staff is very, very intricate. That's why we're going slow with it, okay? It's very intricate. Sunday, we're going to continue, so don't miss Sunday. Let's go to Chumash, and we'll start with 23 on Sunday. I'll give you more questions. Lamais. Okay, let's go with the Parsha. We have the Parsha Chai Sora, which I want to start off with the following. And that is that, you know, we normally assume that Avram Avinu, you know, did everything Kedasu Kedin. And it's very troubling in the beginning of the Parsha when you find that small Kaf Zeira. When his wife, beloved wife Sarah, dies, he only cries a little bit. And we know myself, Asim Labanim, whatever the others do are Simana for us, so God forbid, you should get married. Your wife, it's a very terrible thing that a husband loses his wife. And why would he cry a little bit? He's our model and paradigm of behavior, the Kaf Zeira, which connotes he cried a little bit. So I'm going to offer two pshatim to begin this mahalak. Number one, on a halachic level, from the Maisa Rokeach, we assume al pidin, that how did she die? The Medrash writes that the Malach came and told Sarah about the story of Akedas Yitzchok. It startled her so much, she was so upset about it, that what she did is that she had a heart attack and she died. And Lamaisa, the Satan, never gives up. He always tries to stop you from doing mitzvahs. And even when you've done the mitzvah, he tries to get you to regret it. This is called Toa al Rishonos. You're never supposed to regret a mitzvah you ever did. Let's say you helped a guy out and he was mean to you later. And you say, no, I regret the fact that I helped that guy. Never do that. Because if you regret doing a mitzvah, Hashem strips you from your reward. It's a terrible thing. You're never Toa Rishonos. But the Satan never gives up. So he couldn't convince Avram Avinu not to do the Akedah. He was going to do it. According to the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, he in fact did shecht him. And we said it was an amazing nace because he was sterile. And then there was revival of the dead, and he became a new neshama, and he was able to have children. It's an amazing thing. From the worst thing, that he killed all his kids, came out, he was having the ability now to have kids. But the Sutton said, oh, I lost? No, I didn't lose. He wanted to kill Sarah, so that hoping that Avram Avinu would regret doing the Akedah to strip him from the reward. So he caused this story, and she has a heart attack, God forbid, and she dies. So Avram Avinu was very, very wary of this. So he was very wary of this. So you know what? He said he better cry only a little bit. Because if he cries a lot, people are going to start getting the impression they regretted doing the Akedah. So that's why he only cried a little bit. And this is what we say every night at Ma'ariv, guys. Every night of the year. V'hasir satan milfaneinu u'me'acharenu. I understand milfaneinu. Hashem, remove the satan so I can do the mitzvah. What do you mean me'acharenu? I did it already. No, he's going to try to work on you. You help this guy. You spend hours to help this guy with this midterm. And then a few weeks later or something, you want something from him or he doesn't help you back. Oh, why'd I help that guy? Don't have that feeling. Okay, you know how to deal with that guy in the future. He's not going to be a friend of yours, or a good friend of yours at least, but probably not even a friend. But the bottom line is that what? Is that he's always working on you, the Satan. And therefore, Avraham Avinu was very cognizant of that, and therefore he cried a little bit because he didn't want to fall into that category of Asir Satan Mefaneinu Omeacharenu. And that's why he was only cried a little bit. So that's the Pshat Al Piderach Adrush. But I want to share with you a Pshat Al Piderach Lomdus. From the Sefer Masa Rokeach. We have a Mesoira in Chumash, Medrash rather, that Hara Maria, the Akedah Yitzchok, was done on Yom Kippur. Took him 3 days to get home. He realizes that what? That Sarah dies and he buries her. What's the halacha if someone buries his loved one before a Yontif? The Yontif is Mavafel the Shiva. So only had a few days of Shiva. That's why he only cried a little bit. That's the Lomdash, a halachic approach as to why it was a Kaf Zeira. The first is Al Piderach HaMusar. The second one is what? Al pi derech what? Alam des al pi alochim. Okay? Kaf ze'ira.
No, which
closet? Sukkos. Sukkos. Sukkos 5 days after Yom Kippur. Okay. Let's continue now. A lot of people, when they come from a Shiva house, or a lot of people, I'm sorry, that are observing Shiva feel, and I can relate to this. I know when my father passed away, all of a shalom. You know, you think that maybe if you'd given him a different medicine or maybe taken him a different doctor, maybe they would live longer. And people are bothered by this. Be those that are sitting Shiva. So the Torah says, Shnei Chaye Sara. Though no matter what, Hashem decrees when a person is supposed to live and when a person is supposed to die. So no one should ever think that it's in their control. No one should ever think, let's get this done. No one should ever think it's control when a person lives and when a person dies. Shnei Chaye Sara Zed HaKadosh Baruch Hu enacted that she would what? That she would die at a certain time. And she was what? Kula and Latova. They're all shoving Latova all the years. And you shouldn't think for a moment that a person could have done different. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge, that's why we say, Komanda Amar Achmana Hu Latav Ovid. What does that mean? Anything that Hashem decrees is for the what? It's for the good. You know, that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, Gamzu Latova, the Potek Rav says, is a higher Madrega. What's the difference between the two? If something bad happens to a person, you have to have the Emunah in the Bitachon and Hashem in the future that's going to turn out to be good for you. Gamzu Latova means a person can see the good thing even now. That's a higher Madrega, which the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote. For an average Yid, that's very hard to be on. That's why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it. But the lower level Koman Nar Rachmana, a person can strive for. And you have to strive for Al Pi Allah. So we have to keep that in mind. That's why you guys, if you ever had a Levaya in the Besak Forest, you should always dig, like the Rav says, that's out. It's a mitzvah you to dig the dirt, mitzvah you to bury someone. Number two is you should say Tzidu Kadin. The Rav uses Masada Levaya says, but everyone really should say, you know what Tzidu Kadin is? We don't complain against Hashem's decrees. Whatever he says goes. Okay. Now, we find that Adam and Chava, the Medrash says, were so dani, embarrassed. They were embarrassed, Adam and Chava. Why were they embarrassed when Avram and Sarah died? Because they were all buried where? In Maras HaMachpelah. But why were they embarrassed, Adam and Chava? You know why? Because they saw these great people that had done chesed their whole lives, and because of their own sins, Adam and Chava, they caused death. They caused death. So they were very, very embarrassed. So, you know what? They said, we want to know, we want to make sure that Tchias HaMeis is going to take place. And do you know that Esh Yischiel is a hesped for Sarah, that Avram said on Sarah? That's what the Medrash writes. And Sarah tried to buy Maras HaMachpelah, but she wasn't successful in buying it. Avram Avinu ended up buying it. It's a very big musa. Sometimes you try things, not working, but in the end, sometimes it works. You never know what kind of lasting impression you're going to have on a person. Like Abi Kiruv. Remember we said Terach? I don't know if I said that to you. Terach becomes a Baal Tshuva only after Avram leaves him. Avram had changed the whole world, but not Terach. He couldn't change his father. He only changed his father later, after he had already left him. You never know when it's going to kick in, when you Makarav someone. So, what I want to bring out is here is that Avram and Sarah, and the Gemara says, Babas Avram was our leader and our captain. He was a leader in philosophy, monotheism, and he was a leader in Midos Tovos. He combined both. He walked the walk, and he talked the talk. He wasn't just a talker. He led by example. He said beautiful drushes, but he also led by example. That's how he was able to change the world. And this leads us into what I wanted to tell you, and we'll close with this. The Rav Zatzal is known to have asked three kashas on this parsha. I want you to get them. Three powerful kashas. Number one, he asked, I don't understand, he said, why the Torah has to have 60 psukim. Tells the story, retells the story about the shidduch of Rivka and Yitzchak. You have to spend over 60 psukim about this one. It's one to tell the story once. Why does the Torah need to repeat it? It's over 60 psukim, literally. What is the Torah HaKadosh driving at by spending so much time about this? That's number one. Number two, the Rav asked. He said that if you look at the end of our parsha, it's very strange. Why does the Torah list off the doors of Yishmael? The generations of Yishmael. Do you know the Sforno says at the end of the parsha that Avraham Avinu had kids from his pilakshin, he says they were not his, he just raised them. They were not his biological kids. It says that Divrei Yomi only had two kids, Yitzchak and Yishmael. It's an interesting sfornum. He says, Gidlo, if you raise a person in your house, as if you actually gave birth to them. Adoption. But the bottom line is he only had two biological kids, says this sfornum. Let me ask you a kasha, says the Rav. I mean, who cares about the Teres Yishmael? Plain and simple. I don't care. Why does the Teres spend so many psukim about the Teres of Yishmael? The end of the parsha. Who really cares? Yishmael did tshuva, but the Teres didn't. Why is the Torah? Why is the Torah say this? You know, the Ramban says in Akdama to the Torah that every word, every letter in the Torah, Shmosu Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why if the Torah is missing one letter, it's possible. The Ramban says the whole Torah makes up the name of Hashem. So that's the second kasha that the Rav said. Very strong kasha. It's a very bizarre thing. You have this whole story, and then you have the Torah of Yishmael. And then number three, what's really the kesher between the Parsha and the Haftarah? The Haftarah talks about, in this Parsha, what is Haftarah about? Isn't it about Mrs. David? It's about Mrs. David and what he tells what? When he tells Shlomo HaMelech what to do, who to reward, who to punish. What is the kesher? So I want you to get this. The Rav discussed this at great length, and this is probably one of the most recurring themes in many of his drushes. He discussed at great length the importance of Mesorah, of having a legacy, having a heritage. You know, we live our lives, we shouldn't be living our lives for ourselves. We live our lives as a tziruf l'dayrus. We want to bridge the past to the future through us. You live for your kids, you live for your parents, if your grandparents to pass, convey a Mesorah, a message. He was very worried when he came to America. He says, are we making the Chumash, are we making the figures in Chumash alive? Are they just historical figures? We have to make them alive to get the kids involved, to transmit this Mesorah. He was always very big discussing about the Mesorah. We have a Mesorah. We have to pass it down. We have to make sure we glean it, we internalize it, that we understand it. You think about it. We pass it down from door to door to door. That is so, so critical. That's the first mission of us. Moshe Kibbol Torah Misinai. Musar Yoshua. That's the Mesorah. What are the three things that keep the Mesorah going? You have to try to teach Torah as many Talmidim you can have. Number two, what else do you do? Number two, have a Metunim Bedin. If you ask a Shaila, be delicate about it. Don't be a haphazard. Make sure you get the Psak right. And number three, make a siag, make fences. Muksa, yichud. You make your own personal siag, like the Mesillas Yesharim writes, if you know you're going to do something wrong, if you go to a certain area, don't go there. Don't eat lunch with a certain guy if you're going to hear nivul peh. Or at least tell the guy, you don't do it in a holy art thou way. The ikar is the Mesorah, he said. This is what Avraham Avinu was so scared about. If he doesn't get a right shidduch for his son Yitzchak, that his whole life work can go up in smoke. He's changing the whole world monotheism. I need it. I have a part. I need to find for my son a partner in life that it will be able to help him to be able to orchestrate and make this stronger, this monotheism, this belief, and to make a foundation of Klal Yisrael. And I need a partner for him. And it has to be someone that's a Balas Chesed. All the Nisim, says the Beis Halevi. Nisim didn't make a difference. The water came up, everything. It was whether the Chesed that she did. That's why the Torah Kedusha spends over 60 psukim dani about the shidduch, because he needed to find a partner, a life mate for Yitzchak, that he would be able to what disseminate this Mesorah and teach it, and that the life project, the life work of Avmi would not go up in smoke. And the Torah stresses that with over 60 psukim. That's why it was so critical. And the Chesed was the ikar, was the determining factor. And every marriage had a different relationship. Avram and Sarah's was very open. Sarah told Avram, get him out of the house, Yishmael. But the Netziv writes, when the Rivka meets Yitzchak for the first time, she's wearing a scarf, a tzaif, because their relationship was very close, the communications. Otherwise, Esav would have gotten the brachas. If they had an open relationship, he wouldn't have gotten the brachas. So every marriage was different. That was symbolized by the first time she meets him with a scarf.
That answers the second kash as well. Do you know Yishmael? Yishmael, all they have is kids. There is no message. There is no value. There is no Masorah that they're passing on. The Torah is trying to contrast what we try to develop our Masorah as opposed to Yishmael. And that's how the Torah closes in the Parsha by saying, look how many psukim that we spend that I really want to pass on this Masorah to Yishmael. It's just having kids and that's it. And there is no value in message. And Masorah is missing. And that's the kesher between the Parsha and the Haftarah. David HaMelech's life work too. He doesn't want to die for it to go up in smoke. He sits and he tells Shlomo very clearly, this is who I want you to reward. This is who I want you to punish. Because again, Avram and David knew they didn't live for themselves. They lived to pass on L'dayrus, a tziruf L'dayrus, a message. The notion of a Masorah. You have the schus to be in a holy yeshiva. Leonard, you have the schus to be learning Torah. You have the secular studies. It's not easy. Mitzvah's not easy. It's going to be stressful. You can talk to me anytime about it. Just relax about it. You try the best you can. But it's a schus. It's a schus you want to be able to use as a training ground for life, for time management. And you can pass this down to your children. Because you are part of a major Masorah. And that's why it's called Chayisara. Because tzaddikim, even when they are dead, are really alive. Because their messages and their values are felt by the children. They are passed down. That's why Ephron says to Nesim Elokim Ata. It's your land. Your land. There's no din of Bar Metzer. You know what Bar Metzer is? Whoever's the border has the first rights to the field. The other guys that are their neighbors, they have no rights. Number one, you originally bought the land. You're a descendant of Shame. The original owner beats out the Bar Metzorah, and if you're a Talmud Chacham, the Sinan and Lakim Atta, there's no din of Bar Metzorah. Talmud Chacham beats out. And this is your land. And therefore, what? That's why you needed to solidify it. Imagine having all that Suris. After he does that, Katie comes back, and now he finds his wife died. Many Rishonim said that was the last Nisayim, burying her, not the Akedah. Many people think the Akedah was the last Nisayim. This is not the last Nisayim, according to many Rishonim. And he didn't say, I'm upset at Hashem. He beat out the Sultan because he knew that he had a message to pass down, and that was the holy Masorah that Avraham Avinu did, and that's what Chayisara symbolizes for us, that we internalize that we have a job to do in our lives to pass on the Masorah. Okay, everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Please chazer a lot. Let's daven mincha, and we'll pick it up on Sunday, Bezat Hashem. Okay? Thursday morning will be the Bechinah in clock in the classroom. Probably 10, 9:30, 10 o'clock, we'll exact the time. Who wants to daven for the Omen?